Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. Yeah, today I'm going to talk a little bit of inside baseball for those who are new, but I think it'll be interesting. I hope so. I'm going to talk about the folks who strut around doing things in the Zendo, the tea servers and the bell ringer here and the chanters. We call those officers. Zendo officers, and we switch them every 6 months, just like I grew up doing at Mount Baldy Zen Center, where I learned them myself. And so when we came up here, that was, even though we were, we had four people or something like that, everybody took a role. And then we switched them every 6 months ever since then. And I don't know that many places that do that. I'm surprised. I talk to other, you know, other peers of mine, and no, we do it a different way, or they stay in these positions for longer. I like to switch people around a lot so that it's chaotic. and also really so that people learn it, and also so they have a chance early on, early-ish, to contribute and to get the feeling for being part of the community and all that that gives you, downsides and upsides. It really means a lot to me, this officer rotation business. There's an Osho who gave me, it hurts me just to remember, but 5 years ago or something, gave me a very fine bottle of scotch, 18 years old or something, sent it to me in the mail and said, I want you to write up all you know about those officer positions. Because he figured, he thought I knew him better than anybody. And he might be right. But whether he's right or not, I think I probably have I have a stronger feeling for them and feeling about them. I really love them, and I learned so much from doing that dance, playing those roles. That's why it's important to me. I drank the scotch, and I have not produced anything at all. And it's really, it's a pips of pain in my heart about that. One of these days. I do hear about it whenever I talk to him, of course. Yeah. And in this setting, I want to, as I say, I want everybody to have a chance to serve and to get into that messy part. When you just visit the Zen Center, or when you come as a participant, you know, it's very nice just to not have to do anything and not be a participant. But at some point, it's important to me to get into that messy part of participating and also of taking responsibility. It also gives you lots of mistake practice in front of other people, which is great. So this practice of making a mistake and I'm very kind because I want people to do this routine, unlike in the Japanese monastery where they just say, no, that's all you get. You have to figure out what it is. No. Or at Mount Baldy, it was not quite like that, but it was, you know, you would get corrected afterwards. I try to I'm trying to do better at correcting people afterwards and still make it something that everybody can do. But it's also a service practice, this practice of doing these different roles. So I think we learn through doing them that the practice is about us and also not about us. It's also for everybody. My first position was as Tenzo, the cook, my first real position. And, you know, it was right after I committed to being ordained, I was made the cook. And it was not lost on me that I came here, I decided to be ordained so that I could do more sitting. And then I was thrown into the kitchen to serve. And there was absolutely no zazen whatsoever. For me. So about these positions, I'm just going to say a little bit more about them in general, and then I'll go through them briefly. So one other thing about them that I like is that they are a bodily, you use your body with them. We use our body, that's what the form gives us, one of the things the form gives us. Gives us, you know, we bow, we use our body to, and this Zen practice is a mind practice, but it's also a body practice. And learning to move without thinking is the next step, well, not even the next step, it's a complementary step to learning to sit without thinking and to move through making mistakes and not making mistakes. That's a chance. And we have to know that we realize emptiness through our mind and our body. So that embodied part of Zen is very important to me. And I hope we get more and more of it. I hope we get more work practice in future. I hope we get more bodily practice. This is, again, this ritual gives us that. You know, when we receive the tea, we just drink tea. When we chant, we use our bodies. It's one thing to do the ritual, it's another thing to be in a leadership position when. And I think that kind of heightens your awareness. When you're the shoji and you're serving tea, you know, you do a little dance. Coming here and going all the way back. You learn to dance without thinking. So the positions are, we'll start with the jikijitsu here. The jikijitsu is the one who rings the bells and leads everybody. Jiki, Wes told me recently, he has a very beautiful calligraphy that the Jiki part of Jikijitsu, Wes translated as taught. On the sheet that I have, it's one of these characters have lots of shades of meanings, but straight, direct, without delay, undeviating. That's the energy of the jiu-jitsu. And day is jitsu. And that's because it used to be that position changed every day. New person would be the bell ringer. During the retreats, we switch back and forth every other day. So that's the vibe, straight. So, if, you know, the jiu-jitsu has to decide, is it raining enough to stay inside or should we go outside? And whatever the jiu-jitsu decides, he or she's just gonna go do it. And then we're all gonna have confidence enough that we'll follow him through the rain if that's what it takes. So, and then when I was first taught that role of jiu-jitsu, the person teaching me said, took a quote from Master Rinzai. The person of the way should be brisk and lively, and that's the jiu-jitsu spirit. So then the shoji sits catacorner to the jiu-jitsu, and in some ways is the jiu-jitsu's opposite. Sho means holy or wise, and it refers to Manjushri Bodhisattva, follow me here, Manjushri Bodhisattva, who often, traditionally, is in the Zendo, a display of Manjushri. Manjushri is the Bodhisattva of wisdom and holds the sword of wisdom. And Ji means wait on or take care of. So the shoji is the one that serves Manjushri and therefore serves the Zendo. So the shoji is the one who takes care of the Zendo and everybody in it. So the jiu-jitsu is straightforward, and the shoji is... And the jiu-jitsu also kind of represents Manjushri in some way, just sitting strong and straight. And the shoji is taking care of everybody, so has his or her radar up. Oh, did I hear a sniffle? Is everybody okay? And really should look around the Zendo regularly, you know, just to see... That person okay, this person okay. And really has that caretaking role. So as jiu-jitsu, I learned to sit straight and be direct, and also to sit as deeply as I could. I really felt that was gonna help everybody if I did that. And I asked that of the jiu-jitsu, to really sit strong and as deeply as you can. It helps everybody. And also, of course, you have to split your time between watching the clock and also feeling the group. But the shoji attention is splintered in a million different directions. So that's a different kind of sitting altogether. Finally you get to sit down, and then something else happens. That jiu-jitsu represents wisdom, shoji, compassion. Those are the two wings that make Zen fly. And I was the shoji, I was the jiu-jitsu twice for 2 6-month periods, and then, off and on when I'd come to visit. And the shoji, maybe 3 times, all of those 3 times were in the winter time. And the winter shoji is something special where we were, because it snows and snows and rains and rains. And the shoji is responsible not just for the Zendo, but for the whole of camp. And so there was one sesshin that was just amazing. I mean, and when it rains in the mountains of Southern California, it's biblical, It's just like... Sometimes it's so strong you can't believe it. And there were leaks. We had 18 cabins up there, old Boy Scout cabins. There were leaks in... There was one sesshin when there was leaks in like 7 or 8 of the cabins, including the Zendo. The Zendo. And there was this one leak. There was one drip right in front of this woman. And I didn't know what to do. Of course, then it hit, there was a carpet down there, just for right in front of the ton, and then it got wet, and then it would just go splat, splat, for the whole Zendo, right? And I had to figure out what to do, so I put some rags there, to catch, and of course that was good for about 10 minutes, and then splat, splat. And then I crawled up there to try to find the leak, couldn't find it, put a string down right in front of her, hoping that it would travel down the string. It didn't, so you got splat, splat, and you had a string right in front of her that she had to negotiate around. That was Yeah, and I went in to see the Roshi, my teacher, and he, you know, give my koan, and of course I don't know what I'm saying, or, you know, I do something, and he says, yeah, more deep contemplation. Here I was running around, I mean, the whole time. No, I didn't even sit on my cushion. I said, Roshi, no time for contemplation. I've got all these leaks. He said, yeah, leaking, okay. He said, but he said, Rinzai, Master Rinzai, he didn't like sitting Zen. Active Zen. So that's what you have to learn from that position, is how to just jump into things and without holding back. Okay, this is the next thing to handle. Boom, I'm on it. That's the kind of practice that Shoji gave me. That kind of motion practice. And also the just being present and diving into whatever that is needed at that moment. Jigjitsu, meanwhile, is just sitting, everything's fine. Those two positions are on, there's three more I'm going to talk about, three or four more, but these two are the ones that are in the Zendo, you know, realm. The other ones are administrative positions, helping out. These are the Zendo positions, and they are the only two positions in what's called the Donai, okay? And the Do, means Zen, is the Do from Zendo, and the Na is inside, so it's people inside the Zendo. So during a retreat, we're all Donai, all of us here would be Donai, except for the Densu and the Mukugyo player. I'll get into that in a minute. But all the students are Donai, and these two take care of the Donai. And now we'll go, and the other end of camp is the Joju. The Jo means continuously, and the Ju means residing. So the folks who, they don't come and go like the people who are coming to do retreats, the students, they're here all the time, traditionally. So, and they are the ones who are kind of taking care of everything outside the Zendo, and they're also the public-facing folks. So when you first came at Mount Baldy, when you drove up, you would meet all the Joju cabins and the office. And I think about that. You know, we have land now. At some point we'll have buildings. And I appreciated that. I don't know what we'll be able to do there. But I appreciated that there was this distinction. You came up, there was a sutra hall there. The sutra hall was open to anybody, the chanting hall. And then you had to go a distance to get to the Zendo, to get to the meditation hall. And when you first came, you spent 3 days in that business end of camp with the kitchen. You didn't go up there at all. And you hung out with the Densu, the ones who's responsible for the chanting. The Densu and the Shoden. They're the ones that took care of you. They are the ones that take care of you. The Densu is a very busy position. It's not very busy here, but it's a very busy position in a training center. Chanting leader, head of the sutra hall. Oh, you remember that, Brunetta? Brunetta went to Bodhimanda Zen Center and was Densu. She thought she'd just be chanting. Was that true? Right. What else were you responsible for?
Oh, well, yeah, getting up, I mean, every morning as early as possible and running to the sutra hall, lighting it, candles, incense, making sure it's all set and ready to go. I had to take care of the people that serve food. They serve food there. They have positions, and so you manage them and the kitchen.
And the whole dining hall.
The dining hall. You clean the dining hall. You clean them up. What else? You greet visitors. If there were visitors that came, you greet them and make sure they're fine and comfortable. And then you're chanting again in the afternoon. And then you're assisting with them. You know, every meal is free meal, so you're assisting all those servers, and you can do another. I did laundry. That's surprising.
Yeah. The dentistry has all kinds of, and then also if you were longer term there, you'd be writing correspondence as well. Awesome. You were the assistant to the head monk. So the dentist was a very busy position, and the den means from Butsu den, and the su is manage or administer. So they're administering the sutra hall, and then the assistant to the densu is the shoden who plays the mukugya, and they switch at in training center. They switch every other day, doing that. The mukugya is this drum. You know, that we hit with something or other, whatever happens to be handy. Our drum mallet broke. It actually broke on Friday, and then Jim tried to get it back in. And so, yeah. So anyway, that is called a fish drum, and if you look at it. On top, there'll be two kind of scaly, dragon-like figures coming together. And I've heard it referred to, let's see, there's the scales. No, these don't look like they have, sometimes they have little faces here. What's that?
I have to hold it up.
There's the scales. That's about all you get on this one. Oh no, it's not. Look, there they are. Yeah, there's the two watery dragons. What's a watery dragon? Serpent. So sometimes it's said that the mukugyo is a fish because fish never sleep. So it's to, you know, keep you awake. It did the opposite to me when I was in the training center. I would fall asleep every morning. That was my time to sleep, actually, during the chanting. 45 minutes, warm room. But there's another story which I just want to tell you, which is just so great, I think. It's a legend that this monk goes to acquire sutras in India from China. And he gets to this big river that he can't cross. And then this fish comes, he doesn't know how he's going to get across. This fish comes up and says, I'll carry you across if you'd like. And he says, wow, great. So he gets on his back and he swims across and gets to the other side that way. And the fish then tells him, you know, I'm a fish because I'm atoning for a crime that I committed, you know, in my last life. And so he says, I just got one request. When you go get those sutras, can you ask the Buddha to guide me on some method? Ask for some method that I can become a bodhisattva. I can, you know, get out of this fishy place. And so the monk says, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And then he goes for 17 years collecting sutras. And then he comes back. He's going back to China with all these sutras. Whew. And again, he can't get across the river. And again, the fish comes up. And the fish says, want some help? And the monk says, yeah. And he says, did you do like I asked? And the monk said, oh, I forgot. It was so long ago. So the fish, that really makes him angry. So he slaps his tail on the water, and it big wave of water comes up and washes all over the monk, and all the sutras are completely ruined and carried away. So the monk goes home, he's really angry, and so he makes this effigy of the fish, and he bonks on it like this with a wooden hammer. And to his surprise, every time that he hits the wooden fish, the wooden fish would open his mouth and vomit out a character. spit out a character. And so he, every time that would happen, and he kept doing it. And then a few years later, he collected the whole, all of the sutras because the fish spit them out. So he was able to get them all back. And so that's what we do by chanting to this. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
All right, well, two more positions I want to quickly talk about. The Tenzo position is the cook. I could go on and on about the Tenzo. There's a famous piece by Dogen called Instructions to the Tenzo, to the Cook. It's really an important job. Traditionally in China, it would be your last job. After you've done all the other ones, you're fit to do the kitchen. But as I said, for me, it was, and at Mount Baldy, it was an early job. I really did learn something about what Zen practice is all about, something about giving and just throwing yourself into it no matter how you felt about it. And we used to go and beg for our food down in LA at the docks where all the food comes in. It's this city within a city, Central Market it's called. And we had some arrangements with some people, and so we just stand there and wait. And if they had any leftover stuff, they would come and, you know, give it to us. And then we put it in the truck. We weren't allowed to say a word. We just, no matter what they give us, we bow. And then take it and go. So it didn't matter what it was, just same bow. And then we take that up, and that was the vegetables for the week, whatever it was. So if it was rotten spinach, then you had to figure something out with that. And if it was, you know, beautiful melons, then that was wonderful. I really learned something about using everything from that practice and from being Tenzo. And also messing up. I mean, when you mess up in the kitchen, it hurts, it really hurts. I mean, because you know it hurts out there. When people are coming in, you know, from the cold, wanting a good meal, and, you know, you feel you haven't been up to standard. Or one time, for instance, when I had a whole box full of avocados, which never happened, and I decided to make soup from them, because I had so many of them, and they were all going to go at one time. And so I made this delicious soup. And then it was a cold day, so I thought I'd just warm it up just a little bit. So, yeah, it looked fine when it went out. And then the head monk came back and said, "Did you taste the soup before you put it out?" I said, "Yeah, I did. It was good, wasn't it?" He said, "It was inedible." By the time it came back, and then I opened it up, it was brown. It turned brown. And it was so bitter. And I could just imagine those people just, you know, and you're supposed to eat everything. It's very uncool to put anything in the waste. Oh, that's so bad. But what could I do? Just start the next meal, which was fine. Yeah, that next. Then there's the last role I'll just mention is the head monk, which we don't have here, but I think we may at some point, the Shika. She means to know, ka means guest. It's the along with the densu, the one who greets the guests, but also in where I grew up, it was the head monk. And I learned a lot from that job too, how to lead well, properly, you know, without conceit and also without shrinking. And these positions were all, we switched every 6 months, and when we switched in the evening, we had a little sare, and it was during the off period that we switched. And the next morning you began your job. So there was very little training at first. And the tradition is in Japan in general that you just learn by watching. Genko tells a nice story where she learned how to do thin tea from the tea master, and only after quite some time were you able to make the thick tea. And so she was on thin tea, and she asked, you know, when am I going to be able to do thick tea? And when am I going to be able to do thick tea? Just wait. And then one day she comes in and she says, okay, time for thick tea. And Genko waits, listening. So, go ahead. And Genko just struggled through it. But her teacher was not going to give her any instruction about it. She expected her to have paid attention to what had happened. Yeah, so I think all these positions, they all are roles, you know, and they ask you to fill a role. It's kind of a small thing in the Zendo. It's a bigger thing during the retreat. You really feel it then. You're filling a role, and I learned a lot about myself filling the role of Jigajitsu, for instance, playing that part, and then right away, next time, playing the Shoji and playing that part. And we ask you in Zen to be able to play all these parts and to learn something about yourself, to learn something about the Dharma, about losing yourself in all of these, and also about your own self, your own character, while doing them as well.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.